At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company, serving collectors since 1945.
Confidants, my spiritual, my awakened confidants. Welcome to another episode of Confidently Insecure, the podcast where we are absolutely sure we don't know everything. I am your host, Kelsey Darrah, and I am so freaking hyped to introduce our guest for this week. She is, are y'all ready for this? Give me like a little drum roll wherever you are listening to this, in the car, and in your bedroom, in the living room. She is a New York Times best-selling author. She's written 9 books, motivational speaker, spiritual leader, and entrepreneur, and the podcast host of Dear Gabby, one of my fave podcasts. She was also featured on Oprah's Super Soul Sunday as a next generation thought leader, and her new book, Happy Days, The Guided Path from Trauma to Profound Freedom and Inner Peace, was just released. Gabrielle motherfrickin' Bernstein, welcome to the podcast.
I feel like I need to take you with me wherever I go to have that intro, because that's just like a really major intro that I want to bottle.
I will bottle it for you. I'll send you it as a voice note. You can put it as your intro and your voicemail or something. But I am so excited to have you on. Your energy like gives me energy every morning. And I have 2 selfish questions to ask before we like get into all the goodness that is Happy Days. But do you think your voice is so sexy because you are so relaxed and heart-centered?
It's both. I think that it's because I was a cocaine addict and blew out my vocal cords and have to continue to nurture them as a speaker, and because I'm centered and calm now as a recovering cocaine addict.
I love that. Everyone knows, all the coke addicts out there, remembering that silvery penny feeling, that drip that just burned, it never leaves you. Whenever I smell metal, I'm instantly transported.
I really know what you mean. Yeah. It's been 16 years.
Yeah. My second question is, you released this book on 2/22. Tell me why. Any spiritual connection there?
They wanted the book out in February, so I chose the date I wanted.
Oh, there you go. Just sounded
well,
fancy.
Really, you launch a book on a Tuesday. Books come out on a Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And that 2/22/22 landed on a Tuesday. So I said yes. And that angel number really exemplifies the desire to go bigger and the desire to crack open. So I was like, done?
Sealed, signed, delivered. It's a good date. I think a lot of people got married on that date too. A lot of Tuesday weddings I didn't go to. So let's go to Happy Days. You tell us that this book is not like your others. Okay. It's not about manifesting spirituality or connection to the universe. It is about trauma and the journey towards healing and transformation, and your resilience is what's that about? Why the sudden shift? Why the turn in content?
I don't know if it's a turn. I think it's like a level up. And it's not in any way void of spiritual foundation. So while it's a deeper book than my past 8, and it's a more therapeutic book than just solely spiritual, it's a very profoundly spiritual book in the same breath, because it wouldn't have been able to come through me if I hadn't relied on my spiritual foundation to get me to where I am.
Mm.
And why now, right? Why now? One, I knew I wanted to write this book in 2016. I was at the time 11 years sober. I'd written maybe half a dozen self-help spiritual books. I'd been on Oprah. I'd done a lot of work in the world that was very, very meaningful. And I had done a lot of work on myself that was very meaningful, spiritually, therapeutically. But at that time, I started really breaking down and having a nervous breakdown, really. Many years leading up to that, but then this was the moment that was really cracking and cracking and cracking and cracking. And I was having meltdown after meltdown. I kept saying, you know, I can't go on like this. I can't go on like this. I can't. And that was my mantra. And then I had a dream. And the dream was that I was an adult confronting having been sexually abused as a child. And I woke up from that dream and it was the most horrific feeling I've ever felt in my life. And it was so real. And it was like, even though it was a dream, I knew it was more than a dream. It also felt familiar. And I just pushed it down. I was like, no, thank you. And then a few days later, I was in my therapy and through some conversation and some opening up, it came to me that that was actually indeed a real experience that I had dissociated from. So for 30 years, I had literally, my brain was like, no, too much, not going to go there. And at that point in time, I was writing my book, The Universe Has Your Back. I was just out still in the world, and I was terrified of what I'd revealed, but relieved at the same time. It's like, oh, this is why I was a cocaine addict. This is why I'm having a meltdown. This is why I can't be present. This is why I'm trying, you know, have relied on my spiritual practice to survive. And I knew that I wanted to write about this, but I could not possibly even contemplate a world where I could write about this until I was on the other side. So here we are. It's 2022. The book is called Happy Days, The Guided Path from Trauma to Profound Freedom and Inner Peace. My face is on the cover. My name is on the cover. And I cannot do that unless I was truly living in profound freedom and inner peace. So here we are.
I wonder the timing too of writing about trauma and being able to kind of go through something right before the world is going through this sort of collective trauma that we've been going through, a big T, if you will, for a lot of people, and how what you learned through your healing process that felt so like timely, and what can we find in the book that people can use going through what we're going through now collectively? What do you write about? What can they expect?
Well, first, the timing is God's timing. It's God's work. I sold this book before the pandemic. I started writing it in March of 2020.
Right.
So like, I was already like, I already had buy-in. I was like, going to write my trauma book now, but I wasn't, you know, I didn't know what the fuck was coming. And so then I sit down in March of 2020. I'm like, this is my moment to write this trauma. You know, it's like, whoa. And it was beautiful because, as everyone experienced, when the world is so uncertain and unstable, all your own unresolved wounds get super kicked up and activated. So it was beautiful because it allowed me to go even deeper in my own therapy. It allowed me to clear out relationships that weren't serving me anymore. And so I was like, I'm going to have to, I wasn't going to sell the book until I knew I was safe enough to write it. And then I really had to even get even more grounded in the processes and methods because I was living them in real time, right? We're all being super activated. And so the answer is God had a plan for this book, as I believe the energy of spirit has had for all of my career in writing. And the timing is no accident. It's a time, like if my book had come out, this book had come out 5 years ago, it would have half the readers that it has now, because people wouldn't have wanted to say the word trauma. They wouldn't have identified as having trauma. Now the whole world is like, yep, I got some trauma. I got some big T trauma and some little T trauma. Big T is living through a catastrophic event or being abused or having an alcoholic parent that was neglecting you, or the big stuff, you know, a life-threatening experience. Mm. Whereas a small T trauma could be being bullied, living through COVID, the fear of not, you know, not going out of the house. That is super serious. But we've all had trauma from our childhood, whether it be big T or small T. And when we are living through experiences that are activating to us because we feel unsafe or because we feel insecure, we don't feel like our coping mechanisms can work anymore, those unresolved traumas start to creep in. And many people may resonate with my story of cracking in, even if they're aware of what there is in the past, they were cracking now, or even if they weren't aware, they were dissociated, they were cracking into it. And it's beautiful. There's this excellent quote from the Amma, the hugging saint. And the quote is, when an eggshell cracks from the outside, it's broken. But when it cracks from the inside, it is reborn.
So, Gabby, that's one of those little nuggets that's going to stay with you for a long time.
Yeah. And here's the deal. You know, I think it's okay to crack from the inside. It's okay. And that's the way we want to, we want to let these moments when the world can no longer be a coping mechanism for us because there's, you know, that's taken away. Where we have to start to crack and say, what else do I need to know? And notice what's coming up and ask ourselves what we know about it. And then what does it need? What are these parts of me that are revealing themselves need right now? How can I show up? And a first responder to that cracking would be to read a book like this, because it's really scary to crack into those truths and to start to face even the impermissible feelings of being inadequate because someone told you were stupid. Or the impermissible feelings of not being, like, maybe you had the perfect, seemingly perfect upbringing, but you just didn't feel unconditional love. And these experiences have such a massive impact on the way we live, the way we love, the way we work, the way we eat, the way we brush our teeth. It just shows up everywhere. But when we have the blessing of it being cracked open, we have the opportunity to grow. And that's why I feel so grateful that this book is in the world right now, because it can say to somebody, you're not alone in your suffering, and there's a path out. Here it is. I just want to go out in the streets and literally just, like, hand books out on the streets. I might do that. Like, I straight up might go to my apartment, go to New York City, my apartment, get a stack of fucking books, sign them all, and literally stand in the park and just be like, you get a book. You get a book.
Pull an Oprah. Yeah. Uh-huh. When I tell you, my book came out during the pandemic as well, and my publisher did not have a deal with, like, the Barnes and Nobles and the airport bookstores, you know, the dream ones you always want. And I took a stack of books with me every time I went to an airport, and I just put them in the airport bookstores.
Oh, that's smart. That's smart. That's smart.
And I was like, look, now I have an airport book. So I win.
I like that. That's smart.
You do it, boo. I wanna circle back a little bit in talking about kind of this trauma that you revealed in and your acceptance of it. And, you know, there's this beginning part in your foreword of your book that talked about, like, your publisher being like, this is too vulnerable. You're sharing too much bad shit that happened to you in your life. And I really loved the chapter about memory and trauma, because I think so often we don't talk about it enough, and we don't talk about the disbelief around, especially with women, remembering trauma. And can you talk a little bit about if there were any struggles with that acceptance of maybe even doubting your own mind or your own memory?
When we have a dissociated memory, it doesn't leave our body, it doesn't leave our nervous system, it doesn't even leave our brain, it literally gets tucked away in another part of our brain that's, like, not going there right now, too scary. And dissociation is a beautiful trauma response that can be very helpful in ways, in that when we're in those moments and we're young or we're too terrified, that we can straight up leave our body and the brain can shut that shit down temporarily, but it doesn't leave us fully, right? So it may not be in our conscious memory or awareness, but it's imprinted visions or it's dreams or it's physically somatic experiences of feeling frozen in time or gastrointestinal issues. It'll show up in migraines. It'll show up in insomnia or panic attacks or anxiety. It'll show up in the ways that we respond and react. It'll show up everywhere. So it was always with me. I just didn't know what it was. And I had many times in my life where I was like, what is wrong with me? Like, is there a way to live where you're not constantly living in hypervigilance? And so that experience of dissociation, I recognize, had a purpose and a place, but it also had to get out because I couldn't live in that denial anymore.
Yeah.
And that denial is also, it's like, you know, my brain denied it, but my whole conscious awareness denied it. And so I think that, you know, a lot of the fear response that leads us to literal dissociation or potentially even just conscious dissociation, where we there's so much shame in the trauma that one of the shame responses is to deny, particularly when this trauma is sexual in nature, or the more the shame, the more we deny, right? So we go into the story of like, well, it wasn't that bad. Or I'm over that now, or that happened when I was young, or that happened when I was in college and I'm not there anymore. Fuck that. It is so in you. And so the denial is a real, real response to active dissociation, truly. And we, in the book, I really share a lot about the shame response and what shame does to our nervous system and to our physical somatic experience, and all the ways that we respond to it, the way we attack ourselves or attack others or deny or shut down and withdraw or fawn and cling to people for safety. There's so many ways that we just live in these responses to shame.
Man, I want to tell you about how I recently went off all my medications, my mental health medications, to try, because I felt so good and I wanted to try working on healing some, you know, buried shit by microdosing. And boy, did that open a gaping wound. And it felt like when I got off all my medications, I just had this infected, gross wound that I panicked and felt like my body was saying, no, you're not ready. But then part of me was also like, is that just my resistance to wanting to heal those things? And I've gotten back on my medication now. I'm 2 months back on, 3 months back on. And when I was looking through your book, I was like, how do I know if my body is saying no because it's not ready versus being stuck?
Yeah. Well, what about a different perspective? What about the medication? There's God in the medication.
Woo!
And that medication can create a safer baseline for you to do deeper therapeutic work with the help of a therapist, not necessarily microdosing, right? And so not that there's something wrong with that, and we can talk about that too. But in the book, I share very openly about how I had experienced suicidal ideation, postpartum depression, and anxiety, and it almost took my life because I was so resistant to the medication. And because I was in this wellness world of like ashwagandha and melatonin and do this psychic reading and do this thing, all of that is beautiful. But when you're having a biochemical condition, that shit is not going to work. When you are going through a biochemical condition, when you are suffering from genuine mental illness, and postpartum is also, you know, reactivated PTSD too. But it's a brain. My brain was not getting enough serotonin, and I was literally going to kill myself. And I opened that chapter by talking about how I'm in the backseat of my car, saying under my breath with my 4-month-old son, saying under my breath, "I want to die," and that was Mother's Day.
Woo.
So getting on meds not only saved my life, mm-hmm. but gave me a beautiful baseline of safety.
The weather is getting warmer, so it is time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now that I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from 30 doll hairs, washable silk tops, timeless 14 karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
I can confirm this. I'm actually wearing Quince pants right now.
You are.
They are so, they're loose, they're breezy. These babies have a button, a fly, drawstring, and elastic in the band. So I can like, I can dress them up, I can dress them down.
Yes.
They're the perfect pant for summer, and I'm really comfortable as hell in them.
Honestly, I am wearing the Quince 14 karat gold earring loop right now.
Oh my God.
I know. I think it's so cute. It does not tarnish. It is so comfy, and I have sensitive ears, so I'm really loving this for my body. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Kelsey for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Kelsey to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/Kelsey. Are you looking to cut back on alcohol this year? You are talking to two sober Sallies. You know Zach and I love to drink Recess Zero Proof craft mocktails because it's a guilt-free way to unwind. It has 0% alcohol, made with real fruit, only 25 calories or less, and it is sweetened with agave because y'all know I got that sugar addiction. It has incredible flavors. One of my favorites is the Grapefruit Paloma. The Paloma is actually one of the last drinks I was drinking when I was drinking alcohol. So this is like a nice little nostalgia moment, and it still feels really fun in my hand. And there's no reason we should be missing out on the partying either. It's such a good replacement for alcohol, a great drink for having in between alcoholic drinks, unwinding at home, at dinner parties, chilling on the couch. It is endless. Get 15% off Recess mocktails now at takearecess.com/Kelsey so you can enjoy your favorite cocktails without the consequences.
To go deep into 3 therapy sessions a week, EMDR, somatic experiencing, and internal family systems for over a year. I still do the IFS. I still do the hour a week of IFS. I still do the EMDR once a month. Everything I preach in this book is what I practice. But listen, for some of us, you know, the story of the guy's drowning and he's on the top of a building and there is a boat that's coming to him and he's like, I don't need the boat. God's going to help me. And I don't need the helicopter because God's going to help me. And the raft comes. I don't need the raft. God's going to help me. He dies. He goes to heaven and he's like, God, where were you? And God's like, I sent you a fucking boat. You know, like,
wow.
I had to get on the boat and take the meds.
Wow.
And one of the greatest things that my psychiatrist said to me was, you've done so much spiritual work. You've done so much therapy. You've done so much on your trauma. But there's this opportunity you have to use this medication to help you get to a safer baseline so you could go even deeper with the therapy. And so I didn't take the meds and just numb out. I took the meds and I went big. I went deep in there. I retrieved the little traumatized, abused girl. I continued to communicate and connect to her and care for her every fucking day. And it brought me there. Could I have gotten there without the meds? I mean, no, I might have died. In my case, but if I had white knuckled it all the way, I mean, maybe another way, but why, you know, why not get on the boat?
Yeah. I heard you bring up a couple of your boat systems, from your toolkit that you talk a lot about in the book. One specifically being internal family systems, which I don't think is known enough. So for people who maybe are just hearing that word for the first time, can you explain it and what it is and why you're doing it still an hour every week?
Yeah. Internal family systems therapy, otherwise known as IFS, is perfect for your listeners. Perfect for your listeners. So it's designed by my, it's created by my friend Dick Schwartz, who is a profound man who brought this to the world, into the therapeutic world, and now in bigger ways through training people like myself who may not be therapists, but practitioners in our own ways. And I just finished my training in IFS level one.
And it, congrats.
Thank you. And I've practiced it in my own therapy for a decade with my therapist. Mm. And this is probably the most profoundly transformative for me. Mm. And what it is that the under the premise that, you know, when you say things like, oh, part of me is really insecure, or a part of me is like really activated when my husband does X, or a part of me is like, you know, wants to pick up a drink, but the other part doesn't. That concept is real. Like, we literally legit have all these different parts of who we are. And we have what are known as protector parts. And those parts are the insecure part might be an exiled part. So there's also exiles. Exiles are the little children who were told or felt that they were inadequate, unlovable. They're traumatized. They don't have a place to go that's safe. And they just get locked up under lock and key. And immediately these protection mechanisms are built up to not have to feel those impermissible feelings. So protectors, so insecurity may be an exile, I think, but it can show up in different ways. But protectors look like the addict, the controller, the obsessive compulsive, the self-sabotager, the you know, perfectionist, the love addict, you know, all the ways that we numb out our impermissible feelings. And sometimes we do that with seemingly socially acceptable ways, like work, but it's still a protector part because it's so extreme. We all also have a part known as self, which is the truth of who we are. And self with a capital S is that adult resourced, loving inner parent. The compassionate, courageous, calm, creative part. And so the work in IFS is to create a direct line of connection between self and all the parts of the internal family system. And when self, when that energy of compassion and curiosity and calmness and courage, committedness, connectedness becomes the leader in the system, then these protectors can stop being so reactive and so extreme. And we don't want them to, you know, there's no bad parts, right? So like my cocaine addict was a good part. She kept me safe for a while. The part of me that's the controller, she's still around. She does a good fucking job getting shit done, but she's not so extreme. She's not driving everybody crazy. She's not burning herself out, right? So it's not about changing who we are. It's about softening who we are and softening all of our parts and creating a safe environment for all of these parts. And then the more those protectors start to relax because of this work, and it's all in the book, then with therapy and a trained IFS practitioner, we can start to get to know those exiled parts a little bit more. And we can start to retrieve those inner children that have been so tucked away.
When I was reading your book, all of your protectors sounded a lot like mine. I think we're, you know, there's a type of person that they feel like their strength and resilience and control is too valuable to lose or soften.
Yes.
And I want to know a little bit about your process of surrendering. Like, what does that mean physically, mentally? Like, how did you tell that bitch to shut up a little bit with love? Just shh.
Well, it's quite the opposite. I didn't see her as a bitch. I saw her as
step one.
I saw her as a really, really hardworking part of me that was protecting me from stuff I wasn't yet ready to face. And I thanked her for her service. I extended her a tremendous amount of compassion. And I allowed her to practice practices for being calm. And I let her know that when she needed to be heard, that I was there to hear her. And I would, you know, notice her in the moment. I continue to, and I just soothe her in the moment with breath or with prayer. And I let her know that if she settled down, that she wouldn't lose her edge, but just that her edges would soften.
I wonder too if that ever fluctuates. Like, you are the spiritual entrepreneur, and that doesn't mean your life is perfect and you're not faced with challenges. Did you actually use the tools that you wrote about to perfection, or do you feel like you're constantly still working at perfecting those systems, even though we know perfection is not the goal? You just said it, but.
You know, I developed my own tools. I established the tools. I was guided spiritually to the spiritual therapeutic practices that I talk about in the book. I use them daily. I've always been super devoted to my freedom and my inner peace, whatever tool was in front of me at the time, whatever I was safe enough to lean into, you know, whether it be spiritual principles, metaphysical principles, yoga principles, physical practices, all along the way. They've been my place to turn to self-soothe. But with the IFS work, I have an even more profound ability to self-soothe because I have self. I have direct access to the calm, courageous, compassionate, committed, and devoted, loving, undamaged part of who I am. And that part can do anything. That part can say the most difficult thing to an employee and have them thank me afterwards because it's so compassionate. That part can face into terrifying truths and just be real about them. That part can help my child out of a meltdown. That part can show up for the crisis of the world with a real commitment. That part can write 9 books in 11 years, you know, because it's self that lets me be brave enough to go there.
Talking about commitment to, you know, there was a part you talked about with these gentle practices taking time. You know, I think we, our tendency to be like, oh, I found the source of my trauma. Let me like fix it. Let me just get rid of it. And the truth is that, I don't know, maybe some people do take one big gulp of ayahuasca and are healed, or maybe that's just the beginning. And I wonder if you have any advice for people in terms of committing to healing or even routine. Like, how do you find what works for you, even if it's hard, and you fucking stick to it?
I would really recommend that you read this book all the way through. It's really fun to be on this podcast tour because, you know, the answer often the answer to most of my questions is read the book. And it's not because I'm wanting to sell a book. It's because the answers are fucking in there. And I devoted my life to this storyline and this guided path. And so that was really aggressive. The answers are fucking in there.
But it's true. It's
I feel it with so much conviction. And so read the book, right? Lead yourself through the journey. Pick up in the moment. Oh, that really resonates with me right now. Or that's too much for me. And Gabby said I could step away if I want to. And I'm going to, and then come back in a few months or 6 months or a year and read it again. And then dip into the next process that feels right for you. And then come back another month later and dip in more. Because the healing of trauma, which we all have to heal, is that beautiful metaphor of just peeling back the layers of the onion. And you cannot just like cut it open. You'll cry. So you need to be slow and titrate in and titrate out and just, you know, have fun along the way and use the grounding practices and meditations along the way for soothing yourself and dip in slowly, get support from a therapist and get support from a coach or whoever it might be and go in and come out and go in and come out slowly and steadily. And this is a book that you'll have on your bedside for decades. It'll just be there for you when you need it and when you're ready to go into the next phase. So there is a path. It doesn't have to be done at once. It should not be done at once. Take it slow.
I want to know, how has this book, like podcast tour and everything, been different or felt different, if at all, from your other books?
I got a DM in Instagram yesterday from a friend who's in this wellness, in the wellness space, and has been around me for a really long time. We started our career 16 years ago, similarly. And so we've watched each other grow and develop. And she wrote me a really beautiful text or DM. And she's like, here, let me see if I can find it. I want to actually.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah. Let's find it.
And that's amazing that you still run your own DMs and accounts sometimes. That's a full-time job.
Ish. I mean, this is in the private, you know, group.
Yeah, but, got it.
Okay. I have to tell you something about your energy these past few weeks. I can just feel you shining and like your light is on fire. No other way to explain it. Keep shining, sister. Mm. And I share that because I wrote back to her, love you, mama. I'm letting God work through me. I feel it too.
Mm.
So this experience of launching this book has been so much more graceful and joyful and present. And it also feels very mission driven.
Mm.
It always has, but it really does now. Mm. My husband keeps saying to me, you can't spend 6 hours in the ISO booth. You know, you can't, you have to shorten the podcast. You got to. And he's right. I have to care for myself. He's totally not wrong about that. So we have, you know, made some boundaries there, but it's not going to stop anytime soon, because it's not like, oh, launch the book and just move on to the next thing. It's like, this is a message that I am devotionally committed to getting out into the world. I want this book in the hands of anyone who feels that they're suffering. I want them to know they're not alone. I want them to know there's a way out. I want to give them the path. And it is very, 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 very timely. And I am ready to show up for that contract right now.
Yeah. A lot of the reviews have mentioned feeling like you're there the whole process, that you are holding space for people, that you are a partner in this journey. And I love the resources you give throughout the book, all like very incredible little nuggets to continue this journey. And I wonder, like, who holds space for you, and how do you find such stability to be a handholder for so many people?
Well, I've been joking around with my therapist. I'm like, who do you think is going to play you in the movie? Because she's such a huge character in this book. You know, every new chapter, I'm on the therapist's sofa.
Yeah.
But yeah, so my therapist and my therapists who... Kachina, who does the IFS work with me, and my therapist, Tammy, who does the EMDR work with me, and my husband, who's a real steady force in my life, and my team, who all take fabulous care of me and hold me up and help me do this work and have done. I mean, this is our book. I keep referring to it. I said our book was on the New York Times list. Our book, you know, we are on mission together, the 25 people that work with me. And it's just such a beautiful experience to be in this mission-driven work with people who believe in it. My friends, I have the most epic group of female friends who
I love that
are maternal and sisterly and just humble and hold space and heal me and hold me and believe in me and support me and let me do the same for them. And it's just such a privilege.
That's so beautiful. And writing a book is hard. Writing one book is hard. And writing 9 and 11 years is just, whew, I take a breath for you. And I'm so excited for you with this one. It does feel different and leveled up, kind of what you said. And I know it's going to help so, so many people. So can you please tell our confidants where they can get Happy Days?
Get it wherever you go to your bookstores, hopefully in an in-person bookstore, support those bookstores, or at deargabby.com/happydays. You can get more from me on my podcast, Dear Gabby. And yeah, I pray for you to get this book. I pray for this book to find you when you're ready for it.
Ooh. And of course, all of that will be linked in the description below, as well as where to follow Gabby herself. And definitely throw Dear Gabby on your podcast list in the morning. It's something that just automatically plays along with my little ABC News in the morning. It's good, just like a little jolt.
Good balance there.
Yeah. More self-healing.
You know, right. We probably really need that balance. That's a good point.
Get you a girl who can do both. Gabby, thank you so much for being here. This was such an absolute pleasure. I hope we stay in touch, and congrats on Happy Days.
You are awesome. Thank you.
All right, confidants, don't forget to rate this 5 stars. If it's anything less than 5, please don't rate it at all because I'm very sensitive, and we will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Hi, my loves. I'm Florence Bark from the Love High podcast. If you like what you're listening to now, why not head over to the Love High podcast, where I discuss our obsessions with love, romance, and finding the one. Recently, since turning 30 and realizing that my life has taken a few different turns and relationships haven't ended up how I thought they would, I'm questioning my relationship with love and why I want it so, so bad. I've been in the relationship where I thought I'd be there forever, kids, marriage. I've also been in a completely different relationship where I sat opposite commitment issues. How can some of us want it so badly and others push it away? I put so much pressure on myself to get my happiness from love, sex, and partnership. What about getting happiness from my relationship to myself? If that sounds familiar, join me in these epic conversations with guests from all over the world. You can find my podcast by searching Love High or Florence Bark on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. I'll see you over there soon. Bye, my loves.